If your DVR is full and you still haven't checked out all the new early spring album drops, too bad, because May is almost upon us and there is an overwhelming amount of TV, film, and music about to get released in your face next month.
But have no fear, your Pop Insiders are here to sift through all of it and tell you about the pop culture you must check out.
We're your heroes. Plus, we've got an all-new Big Sell next on Inside Pop.
Welcome to Inside Pop. I'm Amita Patel.
And I am Sean David Johnson. So happy to be here with you, Amita. We are going to give you listeners our best of the creme de la creme of May pop culture releases in just a moment. But first, I have to say that Amita and I have had a pretty exciting time over the past few days in New York City, and we wanted to share a couple of the cool things that we've been up to in our hometown.
Yeah, we both got the opportunity last year to get access to the Tribeca Film Fest and had a really, really great time. And it happened again this year. So we got to do a couple of red carpet interviews for the Producers Guild, which is really fun. And then I finally got the time to take advantage of some, you know, exclusive screenings and talks. So I got to see a screening of this really funny French film starring Marion Cotillard, Oscar winner, and her partner, Guillaume Canet, who is a very, very popular French actor. I had no idea who he was, but they are together in real life, and they did a funny satire based on their real lives, but a very exaggerated version of it. It was so funny. The whole crowd was laughing out loud. They're actors in a relationship, and it has this interesting social commentary about how, you know, the business can be so interesting, you know, when the way that they treat women versus the way they treat men, how you can age out of the industry and how it can affect your psyche as an actor and the things and the lengths, exaggerated lengths that maybe somebody goes to stay relevant. I definitely recommend it if it comes out sometime in theaters. Rock and Roll is the name of it.
That sounds great. I love Marion Cotillard, and I love the fact that she's in a comedy. I don't think I've ever seen her in a comedic role, so the fact that she can do serious drama and melodrama, it's exciting to hear her killing it in comedy.
Yeah, Guillaume is like the main star of this. It really is kind of surrounding him and his story arc, but she's still featured in it, obviously, heavily, and her moments are the best.
That sounds amazing, and I definitely would want to check that out. I had an experience at Tribeca this weekend. I did interviews on the red carpet for a documentary called Cop Watch, and it is a documentary that I have not had the chance to see yet, but I read all the press materials, as a good red carpet interviewer should do. And it sounds like a very, very interesting documentary. I'm actually going to get a screener, which I can surely share with you as well. But it's a documentary about, of course, the recent spate of people who have videotaped on their phones, mainly police brutality. And so there's an organization that has sprung up, almost a collective, where people share this footage, where they support each other. And the documentary tells the story of a number of people who filmed this, but then became victims themselves because of the fact that their identities became known, and then they were targeted. So very inspiring to speak to these producers who, you know, people put it online financially, especially in terms of their time to get this film done. So it sounds really interesting. And again, it was a Tribeca premiere, and the producers talked about the fact that they didn't show it to any other festival. They really wanted it to premiere in New York because so many of the people in the film are New Yorkers. So yeah, it was a very, very cool conversation. Very honored to be able to ask a few questions to those people.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to see this documentary. It sounds really, really interesting. I actually also got to go to another really cool storyteller series event that they put together. And I got to watch an animated short. And this short was written by Kobe Bryant, weirdly enough, NBA MVP, all-star player. Kobe Bryant basically wrote a poem when he retired from basketball, and through a turn of events was able to turn that poem into an animated short. And it premiered at Tribeca. It was so interesting to hear them discuss how this came about. The man who animated it is the guy who drew Pocahontas, Aladdin, The Little Mermaid. He's the man behind that. The Beast of Beauty and the Beast, Tarzan, Rapunzel and Tangled. This guy drew and animated those iconic Disney characters and then did an interesting, I think it's called a soft drawn animation of this poem that Kobe Bryant wrote. And then on top of all that, John Williams did the score. It is unbelievable, like, how this all kind of came together. And it, the one thing that they opened it up to a Q&A to the crowd, and everybody's, there's a ton of people who are Kobe Bryant fans, and everybody asked an interesting question. But the one question that I only wanted to be answered was, when can we see this? Like, when can other people see this film? Which wasn't answered. I'm trying to find out where people can watch this.
How long is the film?
It's so not long that probably 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It's really, okay. It's a short. Like, they played at the very beginning, Kobe, the animator, Glenn Keane, and Michael Strahan came out, and Michael Strahan interviewed them about their whole process in this film, and they played the film, they did the talk, they did a Q&A, and they were like, because it's pretty short and we have some time, we're going to show you the film again. So they showed it again at the very end, which was cool to kind of put it all together. So super interesting. And I think, you know, when there's a lot of fans in the room, everybody has to ask different questions. And a lot of them obviously were targeted to Kobe and his basketball career. And this one question was the last question from the audience. And it said, who's your biggest, greatest inspiration? And I was just like, this is like a typical question. People ask this of him all the time. And he seemed honestly, genuinely like he had to think about it, which was interesting to me. But his answer was Michael Jackson, which I thought was super out of the blue. I just didn't think that it would be Michael Jackson of all people. And he tells the story about how Michael Jackson was a big fan of basketball, how they got in touch when he was playing, and they got to be friends, and how, you know, Kobe feels like people were fans and people were criticizing him for being too serious. And he spoke to Michael Jackson about that. And then Michael Jackson's like, no, you need to take this seriously. This is your craft. This is your passion. Like, when I look at music, I dissect every Beatles song and why they did what they did in each song and each lyric. And he's like, that was the best advice I ever got. And it made me study the greats of my profession and made me a better player. And I can't thank Michael Jackson enough for that advice and being that inspiration for me. I was so floored. I didn't think that he would say Michael Jackson. I thought that was such an amazing answer, and what an incredible story, and what a great way to inspire the entire crowd as well. It was kind of the coolest part of the evening, really.
And also, what a great way to segue into what else we were up to this weekend. So
yes, I may have planted that, but it actually was perfect.
Well done, Amita. Well done. Yes. So Amita and I attended an incredibly fun, if you follow us on Instagram, you may have seen a couple of Insta stories about this, but we attended the phenomenal party thrown by DJ Spinna, one of the great DJs spinning now. He throws, I think, kind of a biannual Michael Jackson Prince dance party. So it's Michael Jackson, Prince, and then all their kind of proteges. Like, there's some Janet Jackson, there's some Apollonia, there's some Time. But it's not just the songs. He just kind of mashes them and mixes them and spins them. And then all of a sudden you hear a live version, and then a Prince song goes into a Michael song. Then you get two Michael songs in a row. It felt like church. That's my church. But we had an amazing time. We sweated our asses off, danced our asses off, and I had a blast, Amita.
Oh my gosh. First of all, thank you. You are the one who told me about this legendary party, and you had been before. This is my first time, and it will not be my last. I had so, so much fun dancing all night with you and with our friends, and just like, just every song, it was just like, yep, I'm gonna still dance. You know, like you go out sometimes and you're just like, I'm gonna sit it out for a little bit. I'm not a big fan of this song. I'm gonna just rest my feet. That did not happen. That did not happen last
time. Yeah, and DJ Spin is such a master. He really just, he just knew where to take the crowd. And, you know, I got excited when I heard kind of a Prince deep cut. And then you look around the floor and you see who else is into it. And you just start turning, you turn and you start singing to other people. And it was great. It was great. Got to do that again. I think maybe in October he does again. But I actually looked at his website. He tours around the country and the world. So his website isn't always up to date, which is a little frustrating. But check out djspinna.com. And if you're a listener of the show, I'm going to assume that you love either Michael or Prince. I hope you do. You might love both of them. You must go to this party. It's church on a Saturday night.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Maybe follow him on Twitter and Instagram too, and maybe he posts where he's at. But definitely, if he comes to a town near you, you should check him out.
Well, let's head into the main part of our show now. We are going to focus on the month of May. Upon us, just days away. And this year, May feels like a really special month when it comes to pop culture, because, of course, it's the beginning of the summer movie blockbuster season. We know that music artists are dropping albums in hopes of having the song of the summer. And in the world of peak TV, hundreds and hundreds of hours continue to be released on cable, on streaming services, on networks.
May is lit. And there's like no way to like watch, listen to everything that is coming out in May. So we decided to hook you guys up, give you our very, very selective guide to the pop culture that you have to check out this month.
So we're going to go through the month chronologically. We're going to just kind of hit on TV, film, movies throughout this conversation. And yeah, again, we're going to just talk about the stuff that we're most excited about and prove to you, explain to you why we're excited about it and why you should be too.
Well, Sean, I think your first pick is coming out this week, right?
I am a cheater, pumpkin eater. Yes. April 28th is so close to May that I am including the new Gorillaz album entitled Humans as my first pick for pop culture you most definitely have to check out in the month of May.
It's Humans with a Z, guys.
Humans. FYI. Yes. So for those who don't know, I mean, the Gorillaz have been around for a while. Damon Albarn and Jamie Hewlett, it's a collaborative act they've created. Damon makes the music. Jamie animates and draws the characters, the four members of this virtual animated band, and it's kind of a high concept, eclectic, really enjoyable, entertaining creation by these two. So this album is long awaited. I don't think Gorillaz have released anything new, Amita, since 2011, so it's been a long wait for Gorillaz fans. So basically, from what I've been able to research for you and our listeners, if you love Gorillaz, you're going to love this album because they do what they do best. It's so collaborative. They always have a really interesting collection of diverse musicians. And Humans has Pusha T, Mavis Staples, Drom, De La Soul, Grace Jones, Carly Simon, and that's not even it. That's all I have time to mention.
What a really eclectic group.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so basically my big reason for recommending Gorillaz is because, even without hearing all of it, we've heard, what, about four songs that they've released from the album?
Yeah, I think so.
But I think they're going to be a total of 26.
What?
Yeah.
Holy wow.
Some of that might
like, it's been a few years.
It's been
we're
a few years.
We're going to make sure you get what you want. Good for them. Thanks, Gorillaz.
Worth the wait. And my reason for recommending Gorillaz to you without having heard the full album is because I feel like no matter what your favorite genre is, Gorillaz are going to give you that genre in an interesting way on this album, whether you like hip hop or rock or soul or house or grime. You get all of those on a Gorillaz album, but somehow the album still feels cohesive.
Yeah, I can't wait. Like I said, the tracks that we already heard so far are great. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I think part of the reason I'm looking forward to it is because someone I know co-hosts another, well, hosts another podcast. And he did an episode about the Gorillaz.
Plug City. Well, okay, Amita, since you brought it up. Yeah, so I do another podcast that's not as frequent as Inside Pop, but when I find the right people to talk to, it's called The Perfect Podcast, and I conduct one-on-one interviews about something in pop culture my guest feels is perfect. So I interviewed our good friends, Sibs from Another Crib, JojCast, and I asked them to talk about anything they wanted to, and they chose a perfect pop act, and they chose Gorillaz as their perfect pop act. And I do really recommend, this is a great episode to listen to until the album comes out, because they and their passion and knowledge of Gorillaz will get you even more hyped for the album. So check out my perfect pop act episode of The Perfect Podcast. And if you haven't heard JojCast, you'll fall in love with those guys and their knowledge and passion, and you'll get hyped for the album. So lots of listening I'm suggesting for you.
Yeah, that episode, I swear, like, they are so knowledgeable, and I got an education on the Gorillaz. And so I was super, super excited for this album. So yeah, great choice for your first May is Lit pick.
Thanks, Amita. Now, what are you suggesting as your first pick for May is Lit?
On May 5th, if you haven't seen it everywhere at this point, the film, the next installment of Guardians of the Galaxy, is coming out, Volume 2. And I just so thoroughly enjoyed the first one. It was funny. It was quirky. It was great action. I love Chris Pratt. He's, I think, kind of the perfect combination of hotness and humor. And he really, like, knocked Star-Lord out of the park for, you know, kind of like this intergalactic superhero element of the Avengers universe. So I really, really enjoyed that. And you know what I really actually, this is like a film choice, but it's also a music one, because the soundtrack for Guardians of the Galaxy Part 1 was just awesome. And it was a part of the fabric of the film too, because it was such a thing that this, you know, that Chris Pratt's character kind of connected with music. So I'm actually really looking forward also to the soundtrack of this one, because they're going to have to up their game. I'm creating another perfect soundtrack for this film.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your kind of anticipation level for Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh. You know, I'm going to say I'm going to put it up there as like a 7.5. Okay. It's been a little bit of a light spring when it comes to film. Like, not much has really come out in the last month that has gotten me excited. You know, like, Logan and Get Out were like late February, early March. And then there's just like a whole lot of meh.
Say it, a whole lot of nothing.
Meh. So, yeah. So the anticipation for this particularly is a little higher, because I'm just like, I want to go see a really great action movie in the theater.
Right on. I'm right there with you. Literally, yeah. Hopefully, right there with you.
Yeah. So, well, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Now, I'm going to take a wild guess that your next pick might have an even slightly higher anticipation number.
Yes, I cannot wait. I'm going to give it like a solid 9, maybe more than 9. for Master of None season 2. It's coming out on May 12th. I just have to say, like, he, you know, Aziz Ansari was just put out this first season and it was brilliant and people took notice. Everyone started to watch it. Emmys took notice, you know, so the bar is set really high for this second season for him to really deliver. And from what I've been seeing from the teaser and reading about it, I think he's got it. And I think it's going to be really, really great. He ended season one going to study pasta making in Italy. It just is him saying, you know what, I'm taking control of my life and I'm going to go do this.
And from what it seems, he's actually, it seems like a good chunk of the season is him not in New York, but in Italy.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting. Like, he's really taking a chance here. Like, he does shoot this pasta making in Italy thing. You know, I think maybe people would have thought it's just how he ended that season, but he's going to come back.
Exactly.
Back in Brooklyn. But
that's what I thought.
It's kind of cool that he's just continuing like that. And he actually did that. Like, he went to Italy in real life for 2 weeks, learned pasta making in some random town, and then wrote, you know, a few episodes of the show and shot it in Italy. He went back there to do this. So I thought that was pretty cool. Just the kind of the fact that he actually really did it, you know, and it wasn't like, I'm just going to go do this for the series. And I just read something in Vogue, a little short interview that they did with him about season two. And I really like how he described what the difference is between the seasons. He said season one is about not knowing what you want. And season two is about wanting what you can't have. So it's a very cool tease. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of it play out.
Very, very interesting. I look forward to it as well, and thought the first season was so well written, so well acted and touching and all that. So I agree. High anticipation for Master of None. And we'll just kind of quickly mention that the fact that you're choosing Master of None is saying a lot, because there are some other great shows coming out in May.
Yeah, Netflix, I guess, you know, network, you know, premieres a lot of their shows in the fall. It seems like Netflix wants to throw a lot of their premieres in May. Maybe this is what they're going to start to do now. They are coming out with Sense8, something that I know, a show that you love, on May 5th. Then Master of None on May 12th. Then Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is back on May 19th. And then they're just ending out the month of May with House of Cards. So as much as the weather's going to be nice, there's a lot for me to watch inside.
Don't even, the weekend of May 5th, do not even text me. I will be, but I don't even want to binge season 2 of Sense8 because I have to wait so long for it. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'll probably watch an episode and then watch it 3 times, then watch the next episode and repeat. I'll never want it to end. Tantrums.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Netflix struggle is so real, guys.
So my next two choices are, I know we said that these are the films or TV shows or movies that you will not want to miss. I'm going to say that my next two choices are basically me taking a big chance recommending them. I'm talking about Alien Covenant, directed by Ridley Scott, and Twin Peaks, directed by David Lynch. Alien Covenant, a film opening May 19th. Twin Peaks, a television show, although David Lynch doesn't want us to call it a television show. He doesn't want to call the episodes episodes. He wants us to call them parts. But that will be on Showtime on May 21st. Mm. And Amita, the reason why I'm recommending these both, the connection is they're both incredible directors who, because of some of the work that they've done in the past, I think earn the right to be seen. And because of Blue Velvet, because of Mulholland Drive, because of the TV series Twin Peaks, we should all watch whatever David Lynch puts out for us. I also say the same thing about Ridley Scott because of Blade Runner and Gladiator and Black Hawk Down and Alien. Mm-hmm. He's earned the right for us to give anything he does a try. The problem is that with both of these great, brilliant talents, they both bombed in big ways as well. So I am taking a big leap of faith, especially like I'm emotionally invested in Twin Peaks. I loved that show so much when I was a youngin', and I don't know, it could be a disaster. It's a cast of 200. There are actors who played those original roles on Twin Peaks 20 years ago who weren't actually great actors then, and something tells me that after 20 years of not acting, their acting probably hasn't improved. So much of this could be a colossal failure, Amita. But let's give David Lynch the credit and see.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's always just interesting when they try to resurrect a known franchise or series or film and reinvent it or just re-up it in years and years later. You know, it is it's a big risk, and it's been done well in cases, and it's not been done well in cases. So I'm curious to see what happens specifically with Alien, because I am a little more familiar with that. I did not watch Twin Peaks, but I know you're so excited about it. So I would like you to report back on those specifically based on your concerns.
Yeah, we might see Alien Covenant together, maybe.
Yeah, we should. Because, somebody to grab onto, because that's one of those movies, y'all.
And listen, we saw Prometheus together, and you reminded me the other day that we saw that in 2012.
Yes, we did.
And we were disappointed.
Yeah.
It started off really well, just those shots of Michael Fassbender as David alone in the spaceship when everyone else is in stasis. Beautifully shot, really interesting and intriguing. But I don't know, it just kept spinning.
Yeah, yeah.
Downward. Yeah. So, yeah. So hopeful, excited, really wanting both to be great. And I'm going to go into both with big old open heart and open mind, and we'll see what happens. Maybe I will be punished for having an open heart and open mind.
My last kind of choice for this month would be an award show, because you guys know I love an award show. So the Billboard Awards are coming out, and they're airing on May 21st. And I started looking at kind of like the nominees, and especially with what happened with the MTV Movie and TV Awards, and, you know, the Grammys and Oscars, just that, you know, we cover so many of them. I have a different lens on looking at the Billboards now, and they have a lot of categories. It's almost like, really, you have this many categories? And the way that I realize that is because when, you know, the headline comes out, here are the nominees, Drake has 22 nominations. The Chainsmokers has 22 nominations. It's crazy that is a number that is given to one artist. It's a little excessive.
You know, there was a point, Amita, we've never spoken about this before. I'm bringing it up right now on the podcast in front of everyone. I feel like there was a moment sometime last year where I wasn't even planning to do this, but we were recording an episode, and I realized I was trying to talk you into not loving award shows so much.
I totally remember it. I marked it on my calendar, yes.
A day that shall live in infamy. Mm-hmm. I've decided to no longer try that. Why should I try to change you, Amita?
Thanks, John. Thanks.
So I will not try to convince you to not be excited for this or any other award shows.
Thank you.
I know by saying that it's very passive aggressive of me, because I want to try to talk you out of being so excited about this. But okay, can I ask you a few questions?
Yes.
Just like trying to get up in your mind. Mm-hmm. What excites you more about the Billboard Awards? The potential of people winning all these categories, or the musical performances?
Oh, for something like this, and I think I would throw in like the American Music Awards in this category, it's really performances. I, you know, we don't always get to go to concerts and see people perform live. And I think that is one of the biggest factors of how much I'll really get invested in an artist, is if they can really can perform live and do it well. So I really enjoy seeing a live performance. So that's what I'm really looking forward to. I think with the Billboard specifically, it's based on sales and stats, like the most streaming song, you know, is now a category. And the number one hits and the sales and things like that. And I don't think that that's always a great indicator of a great artist sometimes. Like sometimes you may not sell that well, but you could still be a fantastic artist. So when it comes to the actual choices that they make, I'm not really that invested.
I have one more question. Mm-hmm. Will you force me to cover the awards on our podcast when they air? I don't know if I could watch this one.
Yeah, listen, if there's something that is notable, if maybe somebody falls on their face during your performance or something like that, maybe, I think that's something that will yet to be determined when it comes to this award show.
You can count on that. I will put aside my feelings about award shows for the listeners.
This is actually the one time that, we might get some Beyonce redemption for Lemonade because she and Adele are up against each other again. So that could be something we could discuss if Lemonade pulls through.
Yes. Although I'll say, I don't know. I mean, can you name who won the Billboard Award 2 years ago for Best Album? I mean, off the top of my head, I can't. I don't think anyone cares. No. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to be an award show hater.
Okay.
I will be with you in spirit on May 21st when the Billboard Awards show. Who am I? Sorry, Amita.
Such a hater.
But look, I didn't try to convince you not to like award shows.
You did. Well, guys, I think that's enough May pop culture for you guys. Definitely stay in touch with us on Twitter at Pop Insiders. You'll hear us, you'll see all of our tweets about what's going on in pop culture for sure. And enjoy May. There's a lot there for you guys.
Now it's time for the big sell, of course. It is our favorite segment of the show. It's the segment in which Amit and I take turns recommending something from pop culture one of us enjoys and wants the other one to check out. And then the next week, we come back and share our rating and review. So last week, Amita big sold the Mindy Project episode, Mindy Lahiri is a White Man. She sold that big sold that episode to me. I really enjoyed it. I hadn't watched the Mindy Project since it was on regular television and probably not in those last season or two of regular television. So I didn't watch the Mindy Project when it was on TV. I've seen episodes. I enjoy her. I think I just didn't have the bandwidth to have yet another show on my plate. But I enjoy her and I enjoy everything she stands for. And I thank you for big selling this special episode. In a nutshell, she's passed over for a job, so she wishes that she were a straight white male because she believes that things come much easier to them than to Indian women. And so it was a fantasy episode, and I thought it was funny, really, really funny lines. It's the type of comedy I like. Just kind of like even like little quick throwaway lines where she wakes up as a white man and she looks at her driver's license and she sees the white man's name and she's like, God, that sounds like a character from a Whit Stillman movie. Oh, God, I know who Whit Stillman is. I really am a white man. Like kind of funny things like that. And my favorite line comes towards the end when Mindy as a white man is, shaking someone's hand. He's getting a job offer and he says, it's been a privilege, a white male privilege.
So
very, very funny. The one thing I will have to admit is I kind of didn't get the moral of the story because there was also the subplot of her having criticized another Asian woman. And so I was a little confused by the ultimate moral of the story. I thought the jokes were funny throughout, a little heavy-handed, but and then a little muddied at the end for me. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I got the same feeling about it because it was like, oh, wait, so we just did all that so you could become friends with the other Asian woman. But I thought this was about something else. I still thought it was well executed. I do feel like it was a little heavy-handed, but I think she meant for that. And I think it had to be that way because there's a lot of white male privilege that she had to stick into the episode. And I thought it was good that she did. What is your review, sir?
I am going to give Mindy Lahiri as a white man 3.25 stars.
Oh, very nice.
3.25 stars.
Lovely. And for those of you, I think I didn't remember his name, but Ryan Hansen from Veronica Mars and Party Down was the guy who played Mindy Lahiri as a white man.
Yeah. And they keep making jokes about how good looking he is, how good looking he is.
He is.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's aging well. I mean, he's kind of a little generic for my taste, but generic looking for my taste. But yeah, he's definitely square jawed, blonde haired, blue eyed. Not for really sure. My type. He wouldn't be part of the Sean Johnson husband bracket. Let's just say that.
Tease. That's coming, guys.
That we'll discuss. That may not come.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. And like I said, I love Mindy. I love Mindy Kaling and everything she does. You know, she's an idol of mine. Brown girl getting it done.
Look at this world you have, Amita. You've got Aziz Ansari coming out with Masters of None next month. You have Mindy Kaling killing it on Hulu. That's enough, though, right? You don't need any more.
No, I do need more. That's not enough. There's more. Good. We'll discuss it at a later point.
That was a softball I threw at you so you could stand on your soapbox.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thanks. So what do you have to big sell for me this week?
I was going to go on. What are these Asian Americans complaining about? Oh. They've got Aziz Ansari and Mindy Kaling. To you people who are saying that, I say stay tuned. Okay. I would love to big sell you something I previously mentioned earlier in the show. So I'm very excited for Gorillaz Humans, as you've heard. And you've heard me, I think, both offline and on the podcast talk about how much I love another podcast called Song Exploder. Song Exploder is a really great podcast in which the host of the show will enter. You don't really hear his voice, so the way it's edited, you basically just hear a music artist explaining and diving deep for 30 minutes into one song. Do yourselves a favor, listen to Solange talking about Cranes in the Sky. It's illuminating and moving. Anyway, the episode I would like to big sell to you, Amita, is Damon Albarn talking about one of the songs on Humans, the new Gorillaz album called Andromeda. Ooh. And he really opens up. He talks about what inspired the song. It's kind of very personal about some people in his life who've died, including Bobby Womack, who was one of the great, great collaborative voices on the couple of Gorillaz albums. But then he talks about how musically he put it together and just tells this amazing song, which I'll save for next week's discussion, but basically about the creative process of recording the vocals and writing the music and then collaborating with various musicians. So I know you know so much more about music than I do technically, and I think you'd really appreciate, you know, like he says something like, I try to write all of my pop songs in a minor key. And I was like, that sounds interesting, and I think I know what he's talking about. But I know when you hear that, you know exactly what that means.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's my big sell. I really hope you enjoy it.
Great. I cannot wait to listen to it. Well, that is it for now for us. As always, we love to stay in touch with all you guys. Please give us a shout out on Twitter or Instagram at Pop Insiders. Let us know what you're enjoying in pop culture. If you have a big sell for us, let us know. Maybe we'll feature it on the show.
Also, visit our website. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can check out older episodes. You could go way back to last October when we had the Big Sell 30, and you can check out all of the great recommendations that came from our podcast friends and ourselves. So much to do on InsidePopPodcast.com.
And our humble plea, please go to iTunes and write us a little review if you have time. Give us a rating. It's always helpful, and it helps people find us and listen to us and hopefully enjoy us like you are.
And notice that when we ask you to go to iTunes and rate us, we don't tell you or ask you to give us 5 stars. We want you to rate us as much as I'm opening us up now. But, wow. You know, we're not trying to tell you what to do, but we hope that you're enjoying the podcast and you will give us the appropriate number of stars for your level of enjoyment.
We're so diplomatic. Just like Sean's not going to tell me to not love award shows, he's not going to tell you to give 5 stars on iTunes.
Well played, Patel. Oh, you got me. All right. So, thanks so much for joining us. Please make sure to come back next week. We'll have more of the best in pop culture, TV, movies, and music.
Maze lit, y'all. Bye.